practice interviewing Wallace Bradshaw and Mrs. Bradshaw, Ozell Bradshaw, in their home in Graham, North Carolina. The date is Sunday, April the 11th, 1994. The time is probably 1:35 in the afternoon. All right, Mr. Bradshaw, I wanted to start with general questions. And the most general question is, when did you start working at White's?
February the 17th, 1947.
You remember the exact date?
Sure do. I sure do.
Sounds like it was an important date
to
you.
Well, it was an important date. And of course, to verify that, I had checked back with personnel there to plan and just to confirm the date that I did start work. And of course, it was confirmed that I went to work at the White Furniture on February the 17th, 1947.
What job did you first do?
Well, I went in the machine department and they put me to sand in the edges on some case ends, I believe it was. And that's where I started. I worked on that for a while and then just shifted kind of from job to job for a few days until they thought maybe that I could learn to operate a molder.
A molder?
Yes, a molder is a machine that has cutter heads on it, four cutter heads on the one that we had there at the plant at that time, and you could dress the lumber on four sides at one time or put a straight shape on it with that machine.
Okay. Is that a more advanced job than sanding? Or just a different type of job?
Well, a different type job, I would say. Sanding's important because you sand your material down so you can put a finish on it, sand it and get it smooth so you can put the finish on to make it look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Why were you moved from sanding to molding?
Evidently, they had enough people in the sanding department there to take care of the sanding, and since I wasn't experienced in that, they just moved me where they needed me, hoping I could learn a little bit as I moved from one place to another, from operation to operation.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn these different jobs? Was there one person who would show you how to do it, or would each person take you on?
Each person that went to, he was experienced on the job, and he would show you about the job, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, under the foreman's supervision, of course.
Right. Just to backtrack a little, how did you get your job at White's Furniture?
I just came out of service, and I had tried a job or two, and of course there wasn't much pay in the jobs that I was working on, and so I thought maybe I might enjoy woodworking. I had never done any. It would be a new experience for me, so I went to White Furniture, and I talked with Mr. Fons Bain, Mr. Bean asked me what I knew about furniture work and told him I didn't know a thing. I said, Mr. Bean, I grew up out in the country on the farm, and we would nail boards on the barn once in a while if one came loose, or we had pigs there. I could put up some poles and make a pig pen, and I know how to drive a nail, I know how to use a hammer, and I know how to use a handsaw, and of course I know how to use a crosscut saw, but of course, you don't have much of that in the plant here, and so I don't know a thing about furniture making. I'll have to learn. He said, I can use you if you can learn. And I said, I've always been willing to try, Mr. Bean, to learn different things, and if you give me a try, I'll see what I can do. If I don't do, you can just tell me to be on my way and go hunt up something else. So he gave me a job, and I stayed with him for just almost 42 years.
So it worked out?
Worked out nicely.
Was it difficult to learn furniture making skills since you hadn't done any furniture making before then?
To some degree, yes. They say it takes 7 years to learn a basic skill, and I would say that's about right. I stayed on that machine under the supervision of an operator for several years there, and I finally thought that I could operate it, and so I got my change at it, and so I did. I went ahead and stayed on the machine for several years then.
Is that the molding machine?
That's the molding machine.
How long did you stay on the molding machine?
Roughly 27, 28 years.
So that was a big move for you to move to it and then to move away from it.
Right.
Wow.
So I worked under Mr. Sykes, Anger Sykes, for all those years. And when Mr. Sykes retired, for some reason, they thought that I might could step in his shoes, not fill his shoes, but maybe step into his place. And of course, they gave me a chance to do that. And of course, I was fortunate and had the opportunity to serve as foreman or work as foreman with White's Furniture Company for about 12, 13 years then.
What sorts of responsibilities did you have as a foreman that you didn't have as a molding operator?
Well, I had more people working under me, about 35 people working under me. Was responsible for the cutting of the lumber, the rough lumbers that came in, the rip saws, the gluing together of the lumber to make panels, and the dressing of the lumber on the planers. And seeing that each man was at his job, performing his job in the proper manner. At all times.
How many people did you have under you?
Just about 35.
Wow.
So that's a right big responsibility, looking after about 35 people.
It's a big job. Did you get any training to learn how to be a foreman?
Yes, fortunately, while I was on the motor, during the years we put in another motor, so there was two motors there, and of course each machine had to have two operators, and Mr. Bean seemed to think that we would be more efficient if we had two operators on each machine and somebody to kind of see over the operators to keep the work lined up and keep the machines ready to go, and so that's what I did for.
So that was kind of
a
first
time.
Step, is you watched two operators working the molding.
Two operators
machine.
And two helpers working the machines.
So you
right.
had four people you
four
were
people
in charge of.
Was in charge of at that time.
Okay. Who were the people that you worked with on the molding machine?
Well, I've had a variety of people, several different people at different times. I don't remember all their names, but I had a good man there named Ed West that worked with me for a good number of years. I called him a little fellow there, Willis Pleasant, that lived way out towards Roxburgh. Came in and worked with us for a good number of years. I had a fellow that came from up north one time, and he married a lady that lived down in this area, and came down and worked with us for a while, Victor Sedanovich.
Hmm.
He worked with me for a while there. Of course, we had Herman Cousin, worked with me for several years. And right now, that's about all I can remember of the ones that worked with me on the motor. There were other fellas there, but right now I can't remember names right off.
That isn't too many people. Did you find that people stayed at a job for several years, or did you have a lot of movement in and out?
We had some movement, but mostly they stayed with it for several years.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll note from the picture there that 30 years, some of the fellows that I said worked in the machine department with us for all their life, practically all their working life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way it was at White's. We didn't have a tremendous labor turnover.
That's the impression I've gotten so far. What would you account that, or how would you account for that?
Good management, fair treatment from management, giving the employees a family feeling. That's Steve White, Fonz Bain treated me just like they did their children. So, in fact, maybe even a little better than they did their children, because they'd make the children stand around a little more than they did me at times. So you have that family feeling there. You have that family feeling.
In what way did they treat you like family?
Cordiality. Speaking, you come through the plant and speaking, hey, call you by first name, hey Wallace, how you getting along today?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you need to help you along with your job, or let us know. Just a general conversation, just the cordiality shown.
Okay. About your molding job, I wanted to ask some specifics. What exactly did you do? Did you first take a piece of lumber and then did you have to carve it down at all, or did you apply it right to a machine? I don't even know the process involved.
The lumber that we ran through the molding machine was ripped to a certain width.
Oh, why do you think that is?
A certain thickness or certain width.
Is that 3 inches?
Well, 3 inches, 5 inches,
okay.
Or whatever, depending on the furniture part that particular piece of lumber was to make. So you had your dimension stock ripped to a certain size, and of course it was a certain width. And you would just feed that right into the machine, just continually. On a run, maybe you would have 500 pieces of a certain thing to run, and the lumber would be consistent in width and thickness, and you feed it into the machine. And of course, the machine was set up to cut it a certain thickness and a certain width, so usually your lumber was oversized about a quarter of an inch, and you would dress off a quarter of an inch off of your lumber as it went through the machine. Dress it, smooth it down to finish size.
How long would it take you to do 500 pieces?
Well, it would depend on if you were putting a shape on it. If you were putting a shape on it, it was a slower process. But if you were just squaring it up, like you were running, say, maybe back rails or inside mud parts for the machine, you could run those pretty fast to maybe 100 feet a minute.
Wow.
So you were just going right on with your stock like that.
Yeah. You said there were two people that operated a machine. Did they have different jobs or the same job?
No, they had different jobs, really, because one man would feed the material into the machine, and the other man would be on the other end of the machine catching the material and stacking it on a factory truck.
Okay.
So it could go on to the next operation.
Right. Did they ever switch? Did they usually keep the same job the entire time?
Well, not much switching. Usually kept the same job.
Mm-hmm. What you mentioned that there might be, if you just squared off, it would go much faster. If it had to be dressed down in a particular way, it would be slower.
Right.
How slow could it be?
We could slow down to just let the stock go through the machine about 20 feet per minute.
Okay.
So
a fifth of the...
Just about a fifth of...
the material,
Four-fifths longer if you were shaping some materials than it would to just square it up.
Yeah. To shape the material, did you have to adjust the machine, and whose responsibility was that?
Well, that was my responsibility. Of course, we had to make knives, to profile knives, to cut the profile or the shapes on the lumber. So we had to make the profile knife and fit it in the cutter head. So that was my responsibility for several years there.
So you made knives? Or
yes, I made knives. Uh-huh.
Wow. How did you learn how to make a knife?
Well, I learned that after I went to White. I just saw what was needed there and got some explanation as to what needed to be done, and somebody showing me, so I learned to make it from being shown.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to make knives with every job, or did you use same knives with, say if you had another job coming on that needed the same type of dressing, you used the same knives for
right.
that?
Right. Uh-huh.
So you didn't make new knives every time?
No, for a particular pattern.
Right.
Make a knife for that pattern and then use it continually as long as we were running that pattern.
Who told you which patterns were happening next?
That was determined by the group of furniture that we were making. We had different groups, as we learned which group was coming up next, we knew what pattern, what knife we would need to use for that particular group of furniture, like the professional or the early American or whatever we might be running at that time.
Okay.
We didn't make the same furniture all the time. We made provincial and early American in different groups.
Depending on the order?
Depending on the order.
Okay.
Right.
Which, when you worked at the molding machine, which job was yours, to put the material into the machine or take it out initially?
Initially, to start with, my job was to catch the lumber as it came out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I did that for a while, and then, of course, being there with the machine and helping the operator set up the machine and change the cutter heads and so forth, while it was a learning experience, and after I learned and the operator either left to go to another job or retired, well then I had the opportunity to get the job feeding the material into the machine and
was
setting
that,
up the machine.
Yeah, I just thought, now, was feeding the machine considered a harder job or a better job than catching?
A better job.
It was a better job.
A better job, right.
Why?
Well, you had advanced in your technology or learning experience, and the pay was more. You got more pay.
That's good. That was my next question.
So,
I hoped you got more if it was
right,
if it was a more skilled job.
More skilled,
seemed.
Right.
Okay, so then you moved your way up, and after a while you were overseeing two machines and
two
four
machines,
men?
Right.
Four
men,
workers.
Right.
Was it usually men who did this job?
Usually.
Did you ever
men.
Have women work for you?
Yes, we have ladies on occasion to work with us for a while. But the job was a little heavy for a lady at times, and so for that reason, the ladies would prefer to do something else if they could.
Okay. Right. I was just curious.
Yes, we had ladies working in the machine department at times, and of course in other parts of the plant too. Had a lot of ladies working up in the finishing department at times.
I met a woman named Jane Newcomb. Maybe you didn't know her. She worked. When did she retire?
88. That's right, 88.
Okay,
I
she came on pretty late. And did you ever know of Cindy Cook? She worked in the office.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. But I didn't know or hear about some women in the finishing room rubbing and packing
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Okay. So it doesn't sound like there were too many women in the machine room, though there were some women.
That's right.
Okay. I had a question just because I had to drive out to Graham. Have you always lived in Graham, and did you always commute then to Mebane to work?
I've always commuted. I've not always lived in Graham. I've lived in Graham since about 1978. I lived at close to Saxapahaw for a good number of years and commuted back and forth. And of course, at one time, actually, I lived in Mebane for a couple of years.
You did.
And I moved from in town Mebane to just about 3 miles west of Mebane up in the country and lived there for 5 or 6 years. And then I built a house at Saxapahaw, near Saxapahaw, and lived there for a number of years till I came to Graham about 1978.
And why did you move into Mebane and then out again?
Well, I was renting a house in Mebane at the time I lived in Mebane, and I bought a house up in the country just above Mebane there, and that's the reason I moved out of town.
The reason I'm asking because it seems that a lot of people who lived outside of Mebane eventually moved into the town to be near whites. So I was curious about if you had moved in and then moved out again, and did you move into Mebane to be closer to your work?
Well, I did at that time, right. I did at that time, just and then too to have a place to live. Just been married a couple of years, and the place we had to live, we needed to, the place we were living at, I needed to move from there because the place was being sold, and so I rented a house in Mebane.
Okay. Okay.
And then after I got where I thought I could buy a little house, I found this little house about 3 miles
west
of Mebane, and bought it and moved there.
Could you hear the white whistle from your house 3 miles away?
Yes, most of the time. because it sounded out pretty loud.
Yeah. When did your typical day begin?
Get up at 5 o'clock. Get ready for work and eat breakfast and leave for work about 6:15 to 6:30, because we needed to check in at the plant between 6:45 and 7 o'clock. In other words, you were supposed to be on your job, ready to go at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we could punch our time card in between 15 minutes off 7 and 7 o'clock.
What happens if you punched in late?
Well, your foreman would be looking for you, and they ought to be on your job.
Yep. So then at 7 o'clock, you have the machine warmed up.
Ready to go.
So you have your materials. And someone has told you what materials you have, what kind of furniture you're making, what kind of order you have. And then you just start loading things in.
Start up the machine and start feeding your material into the machine.
And do you do that continuously?
Continuously, right.
For how long? When do you stop?
Till you finished your order or your bill there, and then you would stop that particular thing and get your next order or bill to the machine and get ready to go. Of course, we had a break time between 7 o'clock at lunchtime. At 9:30, we had a 10-minute break where we could get us a Coca-Cola and a pack of crackers, or step out on the platform. The fellas that smoked, if they wanted to step out on the platform outside of the factory and smoke, they were allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's a fast 10 minutes.
Fastest 10 minutes of the day, so like.
And then you worked again from 9:40 to 12?
9:40 to 12.
And then you had
an hour for lunch.
Oh, a full hour.
Yes,
oh, that's
that was the policy back at that time. I'd have to have an hour for lunch and start back to work at 1 o'clock. So we worked, at that time we were working 9 hours a day from 7 to 12 and from 1 to 5. 9 hours a day.
How much were you paid initially in 1947?
I started to work. When I started to work at White Furniture Company, I believe my starting pay was 55 cents an hour.
Okay. Can I ask what your ending pay was? Do you remember? You were on salary probably.
I was on salary when I left.
Okay.
But,
do you remember your last hourly wage?
Right at the moment, I can't.
Okay.
But it was considerably more than 55 cents per hour.
I hope.
probably between $6 and $7 an hour.
Okay.
Just roughly.
Was 55 cents an hour comparable to other jobs in the area at that time?
Yes, it was at that time.
Was that your experience during your time at White's? Did you feel you were getting paid approximately the same as other people doing the same types of work in other businesses?
Yes, they were comparable with the furniture industry.
Okay. When you first got your job in 1947, and you were working at the molding machine, did you say, I can't stand this job, this is too hard? Or did you say, I'll learn to do it, I'll stick it out? What were your feelings the first couple weeks?
I don't know why, but it seemed like I had a good feeling. it was a challenge. Well, I can do this now because somebody did it before they put me here to try to do it, and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to let them know that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a good feeling there that maybe I could learn to do it, so I just had to get in there and try.
Yeah, sometimes it is. It is helpful to know someone else has done it, and if they could do it, well, then I can learn.
That's just general like it.
That's a good attitude to have. It certainly has gotten you pretty far from molding, catching wood, to being, you know, watching over four guys to being a foreman of 35 is a big leap that I'm sure not everybody made just because they were there a long time.
No,
so,
that's true.
So it took stick-to-itiveness or stamina to keep on going. What what was the hardest thing about your job, and what was the easiest thing about your job when you were actually it could be any time along your career, were there especially hard jobs for you to do, and especially the easy ones?
Setting the machine up to do the profile work or the shaping work was harder than just setting it up to do a square job like back rails or inside months or something like of that nature. So, especially the big cuts, we would have to set up to shape a lot of wood away and run the machine real slow. That was always harder for me than just simple operation of this machine, just setting it up for straight line work.
You mentioned it was a challenge for you. Did you see it kind of like of a puzzle, how can I do this better and right? Or did you just see it as something you had to do so that you could get to lunch?
No, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
And like I say, maybe I got to work it out. I got to get it as good as I can. I got to make it as near perfect as I can, as nice as I can.
Yeah.
I want to produce as much as I can, but still it's got to be a quality that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you see a change over time at White's in your 3 years, or what were some of the bigger changes that you noticed in your 40 years of working at White's?
In machinery or in personnel or
could be in anything.
Just any. Of course, as the years went on, we got more modern machinery. There was advancement in the machine technology, and so we had better machinery as the years went by. And of course, the personnel that we had, they advanced in technology, in their technology of furniture making, and as new help came in, seemed like they could take on better, knew how to come in and get started better in their work. Maybe advancement in schooling for them, and more schooling, more education. I don't know, but it seemed like they were better able to come in and take on a job and learn faster. So I don't know if that's any help there.
I purposely asked you it very generally because someone might have noticed maybe a change in policy or a change in the physical environment or a change in race relations. But it seems with your job it was highly technical and that you were very much responsible for the machinery and the pieces coming in and out. And so what you would have noticed would have been how to make those pieces better.
Right.
Or
right,
what would make the job easier for the people under you.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense to me.
And speaking of race relations, we always had good race relations at White Furniture. We had a good number of colored folk or black folk working with us, and we had good work relation. Good social relationships. Never ran into any problems as far as relationship with fellow workers, regardless of color. Had a little fellow from China that worked with us for a while. Seemed like he enjoyed his work and enjoyed being with us. And of course, everybody got along real good with him.
Yeah. It's been my impression that different kinds of people felt at home there, that they were able to get along pretty well, at least within the company, that there was a sense of unity and that everyone, regardless of color or ethnicity, was there for whites.
Right.
And therefore, there was a sense of camaraderie or less division than might have been expected.
Yes, I guess you would notice, bring up the picture now, maybe.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I guess you
noticed
from the picture that I mentioned Joe Thompson with respect and Rudolph and all those fellas there, they were very nice. And we just all got along good. They would do anything in the world they could for you, and vice versa.
Yeah.
No problem if you asked Joe to do something, Joe would bend over backwards to help you.
Yeah.
And that was the general attitude of most of the colored workers or the black folk that we had at White Furniture Company.
Would you tell for the interview who these men are and what this is a photo of?
Yes, that's photo there is when we got our 30-year service pins, the company gave a supper for all the employees, White Furniture Company employees, both Hillsboro and Midland plant. And of course, the photos were made in the groups of the different years, different year groups, and we had people that had worked 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, and even just a few that had worked 40 or 45 years.
Wow.
That got service pins at that time.
That's amazing. So this is a group of 7 men who worked at least 30 years.
Right.
By this point, though, you said your brother, who's in the photo, had worked more than 30 years.
Yes, he went to work in December of 46, and of course I went to work in December of 47, and we got our 30-year service pin at the same time.
Okay. Would you name, starting from the left in the front row, the men in this photograph?
Well, there's Joe Thompson,
okay,
Esker Poole, and Rudolph. I can't remember Rudolph's last name right at the moment.
Okay.
But, and that gentleman there worked with the Hillsboro plant, and of course I can't recall his name at the moment. That funny looking fellow behind him, that happens to be me. And
so going from right to left is you, and then in the middle
that's my brother
back.
Cecil Bradshaw, and then another one of our Hillsboro workers. I can't remember his name right at the moment.
Okay. But 7 were awarded that pin. Were all the pins the same, or did they have a different pin for a different number of years?
The pins were different. The service pins were different. Of course, all the 30-year pins were the same, but it seemed like they had three small rubies, the 30-year pin, plus a little diamond. I have a 30-year pin back there in the drawer somewhere. I'd have to go look it up.
I'd love to see it after.
I'll do that when the interview's over.
Sure, I'd love to see it.
But, of course, the 5-year pins just had one, a diamond, I believe, and the 10-year pin had a diamond and a ruby, and the 20-year pin maybe had two diamonds and a ruby. And I can't remember about the 25-year pin, but anyway, each one had a little more. Mm-hmm. A little more on it to distinguish it from the previous 5-year interval.
Right. And you said you worked there over 40 years. Did you eventually get a 40-year pin?
Yes, I got a 40-year pin.
Was it still owned by the Whites at the time that you got your 40-year pin?
No, the company had been sold.
But they carried on the tradition of the pins?
Yes.
What was that like, the transition of working for the Whites for so long and then having it sold and working for the same job but for a new company almost?
Well, there was some difference, but overall there wasn't too much difference in what I was doing. Of course, we had changes after White sold to the Hickory or the company, changed jobs shortly, a few months after they came. I changed jobs. They wanted to have somebody else to come in as foreman there, so I went back to machine operating at that time because they needed somebody back on the motor, and they asked me if I would consider making a change there. No mm-hmm. cut in pay, same pay and same benefits and so forth, so I told them I would. I didn't mind the change that bad in the job. I'd be willing to work anywhere I could. That's what I told them when they bought. I said, any way I can help, that's what I'm here for. I'm working for you folks, and whatever you need me to do, or wherever you need me, why, that's what I'm here for.
I can imagine really minding. Did it not bother you that much?
Well, maybe my ego a little bit.
Because you're obviously a very qualified man, and I would feel kind of it was a step backwards instead of, you know, where you were doing your job for so long and for so well. I understand, but I think that's a very important issue, and that's a very important change. Do you mind me asking if the new person who came in, S. Foreman, had he been working in White's before, or was he someone from the other company?
No, he was someone from elsewhere.
Okay. And how long did you work as an operator then?
Probably three and a half years.
And what happened at that point?
That's when my retirement time came.
Did you choose to retire, or were you asked to retire?
No, I chose to retire. No, I could have worked on if I had elected to or chose to.
And what, did you come of a certain age, or did you decide that this was a good time to go?
Well, I took early retirement. I retired at 62.
Okay.
Had some, not serious health problems, but I had some health problems there. I was having a problem. Doctor said arthritis, and having a problem there with standing all day, being on my feet all day. Had problems, pain in my hip and leg, and so I decided maybe it was a good time to retire and get out and relax a little bit and enjoy myself and do some of the things that I had been wanting to do for 40 years and just hadn't got done.
Okay. Okay. And did you get a chance to do that?
Yes, I've enjoyed my retirement. It's been good. I've been able to, like I say, relax and do some of the things that I wanted to do. Of course, I still have a boss here at home. I don't know if many folks know about the honeydew business or not, but anyway, whenever you get retired, well, then if you have a boss at home, why, it's honeydew this and honeydew that and so forth and so on.
And I hear they're just not going to replace this foreman. No, she's here for good. What, may I ask, what was the date of your, what was the last day that you worked for White's?
I can't tell you the exact date, but it was at the end of the year, December.
Okay.
December, coming up Christmas vacation week, December 1988. So it must have been along towards the 22nd and 23rd of December, 22nd, 21st and 22nd of December of 1988.
And do you remember your last day?
Yes, I do. I remember my last day just vividly. I did my regular job most of the day. I guess it must have been maybe along towards 3 o'clock, the foreman came to me and said, "You can quit now and just do whatever you want to for the rest of the time," said, till time to leave. And so that's what I did. And I just stopped work and wandered around a little bit, telling some of the fellas that I'd enjoyed working with them. And wouldn't be seen as much of them, maybe, but I hoped I would be seeing them occasionally anyway. And went out towards the front of the plant, and the plant superintendent met me out there, and he gave me that watch.
Oh, and on the back, and, Wallace Bradshaw, White Furniture Company, 1947 to 1988. Seiko.
So I've been wearing the watch ever since.
It's very important.
Yes, it is. It's very important, and I've enjoyed it.
I think it would almost be harder to be told that I could leave early on my last day. I wouldn't know what to do, and I would kind of feel cheated out of my last hour, but at the same time, maybe relieved. So
he didn't tell me I had to leave the plane. He just told me I didn't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
So I could just go ahead and wander around and talk to some of the fellows a little bit. And
say your goodbyes.
Say your goodbyes,
yeah.
Right.
Did you ever go back to White's after your last day?
Yes, I would go back occasionally. They would call me sometime to come down and see if I could help them. Had they checked on a piece of machinery that they were having a little difficulty with, and maybe I could help get it lined up and get it to running good for them again.
Right. So you were a private consultant?
Well, occasionally.
Independent operator, contractor.
Just go back occasionally.
Yeah. Did it seem like you had never left, or did it seem very different when you visited again?
Well, it was different, a little different. Going back in, you kind of had to get the feel of it all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they wanted me to come back and work some there a time or two, but my sister was quite ill at that time, and I was trying to spend some time with her, and so I didn't feel like I could get back and help them at that time, maybe work a month or two. Right at that time. So I didn't get to do that.
But it sounded like you went back occasionally and did help out with some of the machinery, which was what you knew very well. What were your thoughts about the closing of White's Furniture Factory?
Well, I sure hated to see it close. White's was home for 40 years, just a little over 40 years, and